Good morning. We all right? Yeah. I don't know if a lot of you know, but the World Cup is going on at the moment. Yay! All right. Settle down. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Let me make a note not to use that reference in the future. All right. Settle down. Thank you. If we could show that same enthusiasm for the grace of God, you know. No, but I haven't been able to keep up with all of them, all of the games. But something that's been really encouraging to me while I've been watching and following and reading up on post game things, and it's been it might seem a bit silly, but I've come to find a lot of encouragement having people from all over the world visiting America. And realizing that actually America is not just about politics, right? It's not just about world events or what's going on. That actually within America, there's a lot of beauty to behold, right? There's a lot of culture and community, and there are all of these things about America that is really encouraging for me to read up and see how people from all over the world are engaging with this thing. Now that's over. I am applying for my citizenship here, so there won't. You know, that's all about America. But as I've been following up, one of the things I love most is seeing people's reactions to American cuisine. Right? I love seeing people going, portion sizes. What is this? And free refills. And what's going on here? And one of the things I love the most is people who it's people who are going to Texas and trying Texas barbecue for the first time. It's incredible, right? But I came across this one tweet from a Japanese fan who has come to Texas and has tried a local Tex-Mex place, right? And I'll put it up. I'm not sure if you can read it, but I'll read it for us. And it says this. It moved me deeply. It said this. USA, a Mexican restaurant. We had not yet ordered anything, and the food was already arriving. Chips, salsa, unrequested, free. I stopped the waiter. We have not earned these. They just come with the table, man. Was that pretty good American? They come with the table. In my land, hospitality is a debt. Every gift creates an obligation, weighed carefully, returned in proper season with interest of feeling. Here, the gift arrives before you have even proven you can pay for dinner. This is not an appetizer. This is a declaration. We trust you. Eat. I ate with the gravity the moment deserved, and then I must report this calmly. The basket emptied and a new one appeared. Did we refill? The waiter said, it's bottomless. Bottomless. They have wells of salsa. The supply lines of this nation are beyond anything my ancestors imagined. My friend warned me, don't fill up on the chips, dude. Too late. I had accepted the three baskets. Honor demanded each one be finished. An unfinished gift is an insult. By the time my actual food arrived, I was a ruined man. I was not hungry. I was not comfortable. I had been defeated by a courtesy. Generosity that arrives before the request cannot be repaid. It can only be survived. I know the rule now. I have made my peace with the basket. One basket, two at the most. Who am I deceiving? There is no number of baskets I would refuse. The trust of a nation is in that salsa, and I intend to honor all of it. Amen, right? Amen. So I read this tweet, and I thought, first of all, it moved me because it was so beautifully written that I was like, wow, this guy's he's really good with his words, but that's, I guess, Japanese culture. They're really good with the words. But instantly, it just reminded me. I couldn't help but read, and I'm not sure if you got there as well, but I couldn't help but think about God's grace, His bottomless grace that we get to enjoy over and over and over again. We don't have to do anything to pay for it. We can't do anything to earn it. It comes with the table, dude. Right? It just moved me, right? And it's so silly how a tweet like this can move me. But in my, I'm speaking at Menaju Camp at the end of July. And the theme that I'm going to be preaching on is the upside down kingdom. And it's about how the kingdom of God is completely different, completely opposite, completely upside down to the kingdom of this earth. Completely upside down. The values that we uphold within the kingdom of God are not the values that the kingdom of this earth uphold. It's not about power or fame or status. It's not about what we can accumulate over the years. It's not how we use our power. No, the kingdom of God is completely different. If you want to know more, you'll have to come to camp. I can unpack that for you. But the point of that was that when Jesus talks and preaches and teaches from Matthew chapter 5 through 7, right, the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Jesus is showing us and teaching us what these values of the kingdom are and how we, as those who've been transformed by God's bottomless grace, are called in the same way to go and share that and live that out and invite people to the party to give them a taste of what life and blessing looks like in this world, what life and blessing is being in a relationship with Him. After reading that text, I couldn't help but think about today's passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And it's one of those things that it's when you have lived your faith out for so long, it's easy to forget the foundations, isn't it? It's easy to then make things too complicated, and oftentimes we forget the basis of our very faith, and it is that God loves us, and He pours out His bottomless grace upon us, and we get to receive that, and it transforms us, and then we are called to go and share that good news with other people, those who don't know what life and blessing look like, those who are living in cruel and dark and oppressive situations and circumstances. I love this passage because Paul here breaks down what the Christian life looks like, who we used to be, right, our past, what that means for us now in the present, and what we have to look forward to in the future. Paul here in 10 verses, not even 10, yeah, 10 verses, simply lays out what the Christian life looks like, past, present, and future. When we look to our past in verses 1 through 3, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of death." Paul very clearly, very pointedly says, this is who we used to be. Those who follow Jesus, this is who we used to be. We used to be citizens of the kingdom of this world. We used to be under the oppressive rule of sin and death. And we used to value things completely different to how God values them. We were citizens of this world. We were willing to gain whatever we could so that we might be uplifted, even if it came at the cost of others. in this kingdom that we lived in, we wanted to be our own gods. We wanted to rule. We wanted to make the laws, and we wanted to live as we wanted for ourselves. We wanted nothing to do with God and his way. We trust our own wisdom. But Paul here tells us what we were saved from. He says that we are saved from our sins. He says we are dead in our transgressions, the way that we used to live. There is no hope there. If we live in accordance to the values of this kingdom, we don't have to look far to see the literal hell that it brings here on earth. You watch the news and you can see just destruction and war and slavery and oppression. And this is all comes because we want to be our own gods. We want to gain everything, take everything for ourselves. We think there's not enough. We want more. We want to raise ourselves up. But we can see, and the Bible tells us this over and over again, that the wisdom of man leads to death. And all of us are guilty of this. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." We are dead in our transgressions. We are spiritually dead. We could not see. We did not want anything to do with God, because all we wanted to do was live for ourselves. As Paul says, gratifying our desires, even at the expense of others. And we don't think we need it. We don't think we need salvation. But we need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from the kingdom of this earth. And we need to be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can experience the life and blessing that can be found in upholding the values of the kingdom of God, following Jesus in how he shows us how to live. We were saved from our sin. When we look to our present, as it goes on to say in verse 4 through 9, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We are saved by grace and into life. Here, Paul talks about how God is rich in mercy. Again, that's that bottomless grace that we experience. He is rich in mercy. Verse 3 says, "Even though we were deserving of wrath, God gives us his grace." As the tweet said it, it's bottomless. It's beyond anything we can imagine. It's unrequested. It's free. Generosity that arrives before the request cannot be repaid. It can only be survived. You see, when we encounter that great grace of God, that bottomless grace, it transforms us completely. It rocks our very cores. It flips all of our values upside down. So we're following the values and living for the values that Jesus lays out in his teachings. But though we were dead in our transgressions, we are made alive in Christ. We are given life. Jesus shows us a new way to live. Through under God's authority, through his wisdom, that we can bring life now and blessing rather than ruin and destruction. I love what Romans 5:8 says. It says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Talk about rich in mercy. Talk about bottomless grace. It's not when we have done a certain amount of good things. It's not the amount of time that we spend reading our Bibles or in prayer. It's not based off of all of the good works that we do or any of that. Before God says, you're worthy now. Receive my grace. No. It's unrequested. It's free. And he gives it to us. It's not when all of those things happen, but it's when we are we're enemies of God while we were still sinners. He sent Christ to die for us, to take the death that we deserved, to take the wrath that we deserved upon himself, nailing it to that cross. Paul continues on and unpacks this idea of what it means from going from death to life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 13, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. We have been given new life in Jesus Christ. There's now a way where we can bring life and blessing to those around us rather than ruin and destruction, rather than death. There is a way that does right by God and does right by those around us. There's a way of radical generosity which stems from the well of God's bottomless grace. This is offered to us. It is given to us. It is a free gift. And Paul says it's all given through faith. It is a gift of God to us. We cannot earn it through our own good works. We simply must receive it. It's all through faith. So Paul here in verse 1 through 3 talks about who we were as sinners before we met Jesus, how we were transformed by God's bottomless grace. Then he talks about how it affects us in our present and what it means for us now. And he goes on to then end our time and he says, he looks into the future in verses 7 and verse 10. It says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Right? We were saved from sin. We were saved by grace into life, and we are saved to do good works in the coming age. When we experience that bottomless grace of God and given new life, our response is to share that grace with others, to show others what it's like to live a life fully surrendered to God. Not in a way of a means of repayment, right? Receiving that gift, right? What did it say in the text? It said, in my culture, right? You must repay it. But this is not that. It's not a repayment, but a response to God's great, bottomless generosity. And by living like this, we can reflect his kingdom, right? And Ross prayed it as well, that we can bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We can live in such a way because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't get me wrong, right? We're saved to do good works. We are saved by grace and grace alone. But the response of that is to do good works. We don't get salvation from doing good works. Just got to make myself clear. It's the other way around. We are given grace, shown grace, and saved to do good works. And finally, this is just an appetizer. How we live now is just the appetizer. It points us and it points those around us of what is to come. You see, through our new life in Jesus Christ, there is a hope for something greater than what we are experiencing in this world right now. There is a hope for heaven. There is a hope for when Christ returns in full glory, realizing God's kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. There is a hope for a place where he will wipe every tear from our eye, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death or mourning. And all of those things will be passed away, and we will experience and know the blessing of God's generosity forever. This is what we're pointing to. This is what we're pointing to. I have a video clip for us that we'll play in before we enter into our time of communion. But as we enter into our time of communion, I want us to really reflect on a couple of things. I want us to reflect on God's bottomless generosity. I want us to reflect on that. Do we believe that there is enough? Do we believe that God is gracious, so gracious that our response to it is just radically going out and telling people about it? Reflect on that. I want us also to reflect on how we're living our lives. Are we living our lives with the values of this earthly kingdom in mind? Oh, I got to make a name for myself. Oh, I got to, start my family. I need to get all of this, gather all of this wealth and resource so that I can, do whatever it is that I want to do. Are we upholding these values of the earthly kingdom, or are we living our life upholding the values of God's kingdom, living through his wisdom, pointing people to what is to come, something that's so much greater than anything this life here on earth can offer us. We are saved from our sin. We are saved by grace into life. And we are saved to do good works in the coming age, all because of the bottomless grace of God. If we can play the video.